So, but as we begin this morning, also just wanted to remind us of last week. I remember hearing some of my African American friends during college talk about, they would say, "I need to get my praise on." Maybe you've heard that phrase. And that phrase for them meant a very similar thing to what we were talking about last week, that we feel this need to engage our hearts to declare the goodness and greatness of God. And often that includes music for them and for us. But the point is not necessarily the music, but how it helps us in whatever form we do to declare the praise and goodness of God so that our hearts can rise up to his perspective and see the way he sees it. So just start with that question. Did you get your praise on this week? What helped you to get your praise on? And what hindered you? As we said last week, praise is central to our life with God because it realigns our perspective to see from God's perspective. It reminds us who he is, who we are, and what are the realities that we live with in this world. That's why we spent so much time earlier this year talking about that first line of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven." As we live grounded in that truth, our lives take on deep clarity, purpose, and security that this world cannot offer. So while we are going to look at a little bit different topic today, we need to grow together to be a people of praise who regularly get our praise on. I hope that this week too, as we go into this week, that each of us can find ways to engage our hearts to declare the goodness and the greatness of God. And maybe you can take a video of yourself doing that. Post it on Facebook for all of our encouragement. Today, though, we're going to look at something a little bit different, building on that foundation of praise that I've been thinking a lot about over the last few weeks. And actually, we've had quite a few discussions in our district pastors meeting about some of these things that I think is really important to our current situation in a number of ways. So we're reading from 1 Timothy, Paul's first letter to his protege, his mentee, Timothy. And Paul is helpful in making it very clear throughout this letter at various points that his purpose in writing this is to give Timothy the tools he needs to lead the church at Ephesus. So this letter is a little more practical than theological, like Ephesians that we read earlier this year. And it's aimed at giving Timothy clear advice on how to lead a church that Paul is very invested in. If you read in Acts 19 and 20, you can read the story of Paul planting the church at Ephesus and how much his heart was connected into this people that he's writing Timothy as Timothy leads this church at Ephesus. So he begins in 1 Timothy 2. We pick up the letter, verse 1. And he says, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people." Now, this verse kind of reminds us of that Ephesians 6 verse that we spent some time on at the end of the year that says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." And so we see again and again, as Paul teaches about prayer, his encouragement, just like Nike, is just do it. Whatever is in your heart, let it flow out to God. Don't worry if it's right. Don't worry if it's exactly the way it's supposed to be. But let our hearts engage with God, asking for his purposes to be done. And as Paul thinks about Timothy leading this church that he loves so much, his first urging is that Timothy encourages this church to pray for everyone. Make sure you are praying, petitioning, interceding, giving thanks for all people. How much more in our day today. And then in verse 2, Paul specifically mentions that the church pray for kings and all those in authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And why is that important? In verse 3, that's good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Paul understood that the decisions that our leaders make have a powerful impact on many lives, on everyone's lives that is under them, including us, God's people. Our ability to walk with Jesus is certainly not dependent on, but is also impacted by, the condition of the society around us. And our leaders, as Glenn reminded us just a little bit ago, have such a large role in helping society live well together. so that the love and truth of God's kingdom can permeate every aspect of our communities. It's true, sorry, resituated here, that in some of the most oppressive regimes in the world, the church has and continues to flourish, including in Rome, where Paul was writing this. God can, of course, work and does work in any situation, but it is not God's heart for people to live in oppression and chaos, but rather in peace and abundance. Leaders, though, of course, are simply people like you and me, and they are imperfect. So Paul's call for us is to pray for them. If I look at myself, read social media or the newspaper or just talk to people, I realize quickly that it's often easier to criticize our leaders than to pray for them. They are constantly needing to make decisions that are very complex and that impact the lives of a lot of people. Whether it's a leader of a family, community, congregation, nation, or any other group of people, the responsibility of leadership is heavy. Certainly there are some bad actors out there who are only leading for their own enrichment. But most leaders, I believe, are really trying to make the best decision they can for the people they lead. And they feel that weight. In recent days, again, as Glenn reminded us, I've been so aware of the burden that our leaders have been carrying as they try to navigate this global health crisis. In the last video I saw from Governor Wolf, he looked exhausted, and I'm sure that he is. Then I read this Facebook post by a friend of mine who had this to say. On Tuesday evening, I reread Governor Wolf's recommendation from the previous afternoon regarding business closures. There are some things that are vague in these recommendations and room for interpretation. But as I read and reread them, I understood them to be a last-ditch plea for help from a man with almost no other options. Now, understand, I am not favorable to Tom Wolf. I don't like his pro-abortion stance, and it reveals a twisted view of the value of human life. And as other evidence, in a global pandemic, he lists pet stores as an essential services sector. But Governor Wolf has the unenviable task of looking out for the welfare of this state. And he has reached out for help where it can be found. So I share this as an encouragement that whatever your thoughts on the policies or character of our governmental leaders, from our president and other world leaders to governors, to school superintendents, to hospital administrators, and whatever other leaders you can think of, Paul's call is for us to be a people that are crying out for wisdom for them and the courage they need to make decisions that are before them. Doesn't mean, of course, that we can't disagree with them, as this person does. Of course, we can disagree with them, and we will. And as Greg Boyd reminds us, we are in a country that happens to ask for our opinion. So we can give it with our votes and our social media messages and our articles. But what Paul is calling us to in this passage is to be a people that continue to cry out to God for our imperfect leaders to lead us in wisdom into places where his kingdom can grow and flourish. And so we already did a little bit of praying for our leaders, but if you're still with me, I'd love just to take a moment of quiet right now, and I just encourage you to lift up one or two leaders. Could be the school superintendent, could be healthcare people, it could be government folks, could be other national leaders or world leaders. But I just encourage you to choose one or two people, and we're just going to take 1 minute right now and just quietly, just lift them up. Say, God, give them wisdom and courage they need to make decisions today. Let's just join our hearts together for a minute and pray for whatever leader is on your mind right now. So yes, Lord, we hear your word, and today we just want to be faithful to obey your word, to pray for all those in authority, especially at this time. And so as we already did before, whatever leaders are on our hearts, God, we just lift them up to you this morning. And we ask, God, that you are the God of wisdom. As our memory verse says, we ask that they would be filled with all wisdom and knowledge that the Spirit brings, God. Whether they know you or not, Lord, for the sake of your people, we're asking that you would speak to them, that you would lead their hearts into wisdom and truth, that you would bring them the advisors, the right information, the right things that they need, God. to lead whatever area of leadership they have into ways of truth and righteousness and peace, God. We pray for unity among leaders. We pray that they could work together and that each area of leadership would work together with those they need to bring a full picture of good decisions and clear leadership in this time of crisis and disruption. We trust you, God. Our hope is in you, and we commit them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just encourage us as we go through this week, as we continue to hear reports, as we continue to see pictures of leaders, to be a people that are continually praying for our leaders. Whoever you see, just as even as you see a name in the paper or on a report, just ask God, God, give them wisdom. God, give them courage. Let them do what they need to do, God. And let that be just a common theme of us as a people of God. So Paul tells us to pray for our leaders, and then he goes on and reaffirms why this living in quietness and godliness so all people can know Jesus is so important. He talks about his own calling, and then he goes on at the end of this passage and reminds us that as we come to this all-important work of praying for all people, he reminds us that it must come from a life that is set on living in the kingdom of God. It does us no good to pray that our leaders lead us in wisdom and truth if we ourselves are not willing to live in the wisdom and truth that the Spirit brings, as our verses in Colossians talked about. In that case, our lives would actually be working against our prayers. So he tells men to pray without anger and disputing. He tells women to pray without adornments of gold and expensive clothing in verses 8 to 10. In our tradition, and many others probably too, I think it's safe to say that we've spent more time discussing the latter part of that verse than the former. And sometimes we've discussed so much what we can and cannot wear that we've started getting angry and falling into disputes. Oh, that's kind of ironic that those are together in this verse. Now, of course, it's easy to look back and see the irony of past generations, and I'm sure our kids and grandkids will see plenty of irony in our lives as well. But we can learn from those that have gone before us, just like our kids will learn from us. But the point of Paul's directions, of course, is not to implement some new external regulation, but to call us out of the hypocrisy that we often fall into of asking God to bring his kingdom to earth, but then living from our own selfish motives. For men, selfish motives may come out in anger and disputing. For women, selfish motives may be expressed through wanting to look better than others, through hairstyles and jewelry. Or it could be the other way around for some people. At least we can infer that these were key issues that Paul assumed Timothy would deal with in his leadership at Ephesus. In other places, maybe there's other issues. For other people, maybe there's other issues. The point, though, of these verses is to encourage us to think about what hinders my prayers. Is there anger in my heart that keeps me from praying for all people? And we'll pause on that question. This question is very important for us and is only going to be more important in the weeks to come. Of course, it's 2020, and this is an election year. 2016 wasn't pretty. I don't imagine 2020 is going to be any better. Now, we had a reprieve right now because of the coronavirus, but we can be assured once the coronavirus is off the news, it will be flurry and fury of campaign slogans that are increasingly hostile and degrading to one another. And if we are not intentional about allowing the Lord to continually search our hearts and lead us to holiness, then we too will be swept away in a flood of toxic rhetoric and attitudes. In the coming months, I'm hoping to spend more time talking as a community about how we can discuss and disagree passionately about the most important political issues of our day while still remaining faithful to be the people God has called us to be, clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, as Colossians 3:12 reminds us. It is possible to do that, but it is not easy. For today, we just want to be clear that if we feed our minds on attitudes of hatred, degradation, and fear, then it will lead our hearts far from God, and we simply will not be able to engage God in prayer for all people, as he calls us. I remember Michelle knew someone fairly close to us back in 2016 during the campaign who was feeding his mind on a lot of really toxic rhetoric. And Michelle challenged this person that if he was feeding his mind more on that than on the Word of God, it would separate him from the life of God. And a few days later, this person came back to her with an incredibly perceptive observation. He said, "You know, I realized you're right. I realized I was starting to despise people in my heart." That's some very deep, good self-awareness. He realized what he was listening to was creating an attitude in his heart that was causing him to despise a group of people. Of course, we cannot pray for people that we despise unless we recognize it, repent of it, and ask God to give us a new heart. So maybe for you, the political rhetoric and atmosphere is not a temptation. Maybe you've got it under control or you just don't care. Maybe it's anger and disputing about something else. Maybe it's the need to look better than others so you can feel good about yourself. Maybe it's the need to be more talented or the need to work more hours or to be more religious in some way. We all have our own things that are temptations that we will put before seeking and serving God that will take us away from the life of God. So this morning, I'm just inviting us to reflect on this simply to take some time to ask the Lord, "God, what hinders my prayers?" This, of course, is not to make us navel gazers, as they say, always fearful that we'll be rejected if we mess up. This is simply an acknowledgement that the more we allow God to shape and form our lives, the deeper we will be able to enter into prayer and fulfill his call to pray for all people. God has given us the greatest privilege in the universe to be conduits of heaven to earth. We have the opportunity to pray and release the blessings of heaven over all people. God longs to reveal his goodness, his grace, his life, his abundance to all people through our lives and our prayers. So as we finish, I leave you with these three encouragements. First, let's be a people that pray for our leaders. Again, whenever you see the name of a leader in an article, in a magazine, there's time to discuss whether we agree or not, and there's time just to pray. God, help them. God, help them. That's a good prayer we can keep on our lips. Please help them. Second thing is, let's be aware of the temptations that will take us away from the heart of God and hinder our ability to fulfill his call to pray for our people. Paul is helping us think about what attitudes in our heart, and let's just be aware of those as we go through this week. What are the attitudes, the thoughts, the postures in my heart, whether I'm putting it in from the outside or whether it's coming out from the inside, that is causing me to not be able to pray for all people as God wants me to? And let's be a people who call down heaven to earth through our prayers, especially in this time of distress and disruption. Amen. Just take a moment.